Today's episode of the podcast is sponsored by Dr. Carlo Bayraktarian.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. This is Dernarek from St. Sarkis Church, along with my co-host, Mr. Veh Bezdikyan. Let us start our program in our day with a prayer from the prayers of St. Nerses, the gracious Subnerses Shnurali of the Armenian Apostolic Church.
Tun vor polorin bahabannes, Christos, ku ache to hovani Allah, imveras, kisher utsereg, dan mech nestadz adenes, te jampan katsadz adenes, knatsadz te artnsadz adenes, vorbesi yerpek chesasanim, yev vogorme ku araradz nerut, yev inzi pazmameris. Christ, guardian of all creatures, let your right hand be a shadow over me day and night, tarrying at home and traveling, sleeping and rising, that I may never fail. Have mercy upon your creatures and upon me, great sinner that I am.
The Pope has come and gone, but the commotion is still in the city.
No, I assumed things were going to ease a little bit in New York City, but obviously with the UN General Assembly, it has not eased at all. It's been just as hectic, and when you've got dignitaries from over 100 countries, heads of state here, to include the president of Armenia who's here visiting, it gets to be pretty overwhelming.
I see that you have the text of his speech. You want to share some of what he said to our listeners?
Yes, that would be great. He spoke at length, obviously, on Tuesday.
President Serge Sarkisian of the Republic of Armenia.
And he covered a variety of themes to include the 100th anniversary commemoration of the genocide and also focused on what's most pressing for the Armenian community presently, which is the ongoing conflict with Azerbaijan in the Republic of Nagorno-Karabakh. So let me read a few excerpts and we can talk about it. Last year, on the eve of the Armenian Genocide Centennial, from this podium, I expressed our gratitude to the nations that recognized the Armenian Genocide and named them all individually. I called upon the international community to bolster the struggle against the recurrence of the crime of genocide through recognition and condemnation. He also spoke extensively about his appreciation to Pope Francis, and he noted the historical mass that he served. And as he went on, he talked about wanting to achieve a peaceful resolution of the Nagorno-Karabakh problem, which remains one of the most salient issues in our region. He said, "I shall note that aggressive policy pursued by Azerbaijan resulted in the absence of any meaningful progress in the progress of negotiations for the conflict settlement, and the situation drifts towards increasing tension. The dictatorial regime of the country made disgraceful repression an instrument to strangle the people's wrath, as the oil-based economy obviously falters, and even that, nevertheless, it considers inefficient. Now it needs images from the line of contact in order to divert the attention of its own public. I would like to draw the attention of this assembly to the fact that Azerbaijan, besides various provocative actions, has now started to apply large-caliber artillery firing at the peaceful settlements of the bordering districts of both the Republic of Armenia and the Nagorno-Karabakh Republic." He spoke about the victims. He spoke about the three women that fell victim to the Azerbaijani bombardment, as well as the Armenian soldiers who perished in the skirmishes across the border.
That was really heartbreaking when I read the news, and I came to learn that one of the women who died was in her 90s, and another, you know, a younger woman. And see, I have a very probably subjective perspective on this. We've been in talking and hearing about the war in Syria, about the Armenian communities that has been suffering in Syria. But when these news about Gharapah broke, I experienced, and I'm going to be very honest here, a different kind of heartache, because it brought back memories of my childhood, the years that I was a teenager. I was very much involved with the AYF, and all we did was talk about Gharapah, pray about our soldiers, watch the videos, read the news, and it was such a big thing for us, you know, to see the liberation of Gharapah and the Armenian tanks driving into Shushi. And we thought that that would be the end of it. And here, 20 some years later, we see that it's not over. And Azerbaijan is not ready to let go. And they're trying to find every means to take back our own lands. I say I have a subjective perspective because, you know, although I was born and raised in Syria, and, you know, there was a large Armenian community in Syria, but to me, the homeland is always your homeland. And you would always hope that Armenia is that safe haven for all Armenians. And when you see events like this, you know, that sense of security is being violated. And that is something that no one wants to see.
Absolutely, Dernarek. I think that resonates with all of us in the diaspora. Obviously, people who were there in Armenia and Nagorno-Karabakh are on the ground. They're experiencing this daily. And for them, it's a very palpable feeling and probably an emotional roller coaster ride for them. But as we embrace our homeland, as you stated, it continues to be a point of contention for us. It continues to be a stressful experience because we worry. We are attached. Whether we're in the United States or in Lebanon or Syria, obviously the Syrian Armenians are challenged by additional host of other concerns that are obviously much more pressing. But for the remainder of the world who lives, everyone who lives in relative peace, the Armenian struggle continues to be front and center in our minds.
So we keep praying for the safety of our homeland and harms to be away from our people. Zahume ինչ պեսացի Պաստակ նարդա խիղճը մակում Արդարատատ Ղարաբաղցի Արդարատատ Ղարաբաղցի 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 Ուրելին է սիմ բարեկան Դու նրա հետ ընգերացիր Լավ ընգերոչ համարան
Հասարակ մարդ մի կարծի, գիտնական է ու զորավար, բազմա վաստա Ղարաբաղցի, բազմա վաստա Ղարաբաղցի.
So Dernarek, when I arrived today to record the podcast with you, you had a big map up on the computer and you were looking at a spread of, I believe, their listeners. Can you tell us a bit about the distribution of our listenership and where people are? I understand they're scattered throughout the world, obviously with a greater concentration here in the New York area in the U.S., but you were mentioning some pretty remote places.
Yes, Ves. Sometimes I take a look to see where my listeners are from, and obviously, 91, almost 92% of our listeners are from the United States. The second country is Lebanon, and the third is Canada. But as you mentioned, we have listeners from remote places like Republic of Korea, Tanzania, Switzerland, Egypt, Argentina, Denmark, Finland, Sweden, and even Mexico. I think everybody loves my accent. And for that reason, they're tuning in and listening to our podcast.
I think they're motivated by the message. And it obviously resonates with a lot of people, whether it be globally or here in the U.S. And we do have a nice following in Armenia as well in the homeland. So that's encouraging.
It is encouraging. And when we look at the stats here, we have different ways of seeing who's listening and what's happening. And it's interesting that a lot of our listeners use the internet platform, like their internet browser, to listen.
Which is very surprising. I guess that's a generational thing, because most of my generation or younger folks, I'm in my 40s, were probably listening through the iPhone, listening to through the podcast application or through other means that are in mobile technology, not by desktop.
That's right. So I would like to remind our listeners that if they are in the ecosystem of Apple, they should download the podcast application and subscribe to our podcast, and they will see every new episode that we release. And that's the best way for them to stay in tune with our podcasts and
to listen with ease. The benefit of having it on the podcast application is that it uploads automatically. So Thursday morning, when I pop open the podcast application, it actually shows up and it populates and it starts playing the podcast. So there's no need to download the email or to have to sit with your computer and listen and press play, press pause when you have to step away.
That's right.
And you can keep it with you. You jump in the car and link it into your car either wirelessly or with a hard cable connection.
If you have Bluetooth-equipped audio system in your car, that's the best way to listen to the podcast. Or you can, as you said, hook it up with a wire to your system and listen while you drive. That's what I do. I listen to myself, and that's a punishment, yes. Every Thursday morning, I listen to myself to see how are we doing, and I do that in my car.
Of course, we don't want to dissuade our listeners who are reluctant to transition to the new technologies and maybe just want to listen from their computer or from their desktop. And that's fine, but it's probably a lot easier to just be able to walk around with it, put on your earpiece, listen along when you're doing something else.
And one more request from our listeners. If you like our podcast and you enjoy it, please tell someone that you know about it. That's the best way to spread the news and so that people will hear our podcast every week.
And we are, of course, always open to feedback. If there's ways that the podcast can improve, or if there's topics that you find to be most interesting or compelling, please reach out for us. Send Dernarek an email.
FatherNarek@gmail.com. Veh, are you going to the gala this Saturday evening?
Absolutely.
The Saturday school is having the annual dinner dance at the Douglaston Manor, and I'm going. I know that we have over 130 people who will be going, and that's a good thing.
That's to start. We haven't gotten the final numbers yet.
Of course not.
We're at 130 right now, but you know, us Armenians like to procrastinate and make decisions last minute, and people will be calling the committee saying, "Inzi hamar derga?"
And we hope that the committee will say yes to them. You still have time to buy your tickets and to join us to have some good times. But the purpose of this dinner dance is to raise funds for the operations of our Saturday school, which is a very important part of St. Sarkis Church. We have over 70 students who attend our Saturday school. It's a great place for them to learn about their culture and their identity. We teach Armenian language, we teach religion, history, music, among other things. And it's a great place for our kids to form friendship with their Armenian cohorts.
And these friendships are the seeds to an Armenian life. And I can speak to that from my experience growing up in the Armenian school environment. I think it's so important that we support the Armenian schools. And in addition to the church's primary mission, of course, which is to get the message and the word of God out to our parishioners, I can't think of a more important thing that St. Sarkis does for this community in terms of educating the youth and getting them involved, engaged at a very young age, and teaching them our beautiful language.
That's right. And, you know, we all need to support our Saturday school. The tuition that we charge parents is $400 for non-members, $350 for members, and that's the tuition per year. And that's not a whole lot.
No, it's not. That's very reasonable.
And for that reason, we have to do fundraisers to offset our expenses. We have to pay the teachers who almost come here on a volunteer basis. We provide the books for our children and all the extracurricular activities. So if you choose to attend the dinner dance this Saturday, not only you will have fun, but you will also be supporting the mission of our Saturday school.
We can pretty much guarantee it's going to be a great time, and you'll also feel good doing it because you know you're supporting a great effort.
Last Saturday, I attended the theatrical presentation of All Rise, the Court is in Session. And today, I have with me two of the actors from the play, Mr. Harut Barsoomian and Mr. Karnik Nersesyan. Harut and Karnik, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Deray.
Harut, why don't you tell us about All Rise, the Court is in Session?
All Rise, the Court is in Session is a play based on the trial of Solomon Tehlirian, who most of us know is the young Armenian guy who assassinated the mastermind of the genocide, Talat Pasha, in Berlin. So the whole play is based on the trial and what he went through during the time before assassinating, getting ready to kill Talat Pasha, shoot him in the head, and then the whole trial setting him free.
You had the role
of Solomon Tehlirian.
Yes. Tell me how it felt to try to walk in his shoes.
Honestly, when the committee first they told us that they want to present this play, I asked them. I said, I want the role of Solomon Tehlirian because I could be selfish, but you know, when you're young and you grow up in your house, in the schools and all the different organizations that you've been in, with the stories, with the Armenian history, Armenian language and the culture, it's just only natural for you to have the pride in your culture. And having that said, me growing up with all these vivid stories and even the songs, let's say, everything, it just felt natural. I felt the need to be playing the role of Solomon Tehlirian. I thought that it wouldn't have been done in any different way with any different actor. So when I took over the role, as much as I thought it would be easy for me because I knew the story and everything, it was so hard. I gotta be honest. It was very hard to get
into. What was hard about it?
To be in his shoes, like you said. Try to feel what he went through. It's not just, you know, taking the gun and then going, oh, Talat Pasha is there, shoot him and that's it, it's done. No, it was all this, like, him preparing. And even in the play, there's, you know, they put the three souls who were with him along the whole way until he, you know, assassinated Talat Pasha and throughout the whole trial, helping him to get ready. And after shooting and then in the trial, he was ready. He was even ready to be hung. And he says that, you know, he had that in his head that even if they hang him, he was going to shoot Talat Pasha and that's it. Because he was doing it for one reason, which is to avenge his family, all the Armenian victims of the genocide. So through that, especially towards the end, when they set him free, it's a total shock for him because he wasn't expecting to be set free. So when they set him free, it's a shocker, and then he doesn't know what to do after that. Okay, you know, I killed Talat Pasha, and now they set me free. Now what? What am I going to do now? And he says that in the play. So just preparing for that, you know, like what answer he's going to give to all these like victims, his family and all the other victims, all these like brave men who fought, who tried to keep the Armenian language alive, even like till the last, you know, breath they took. They tried to teach their kids the Armenian language. What is he going to tell those people? Like, it was so hard. I thought it was going to be easy because I'm going through something similar with my family being in Aleppo now in Syria. I thought, you know what, just thinking of them, it would help me get into it a little bit, which it did, but not as much. It's so hard. It was so hard. That's why, like we were talking earlier, I mentioned during rehearsals, I avoided rehearsing that last monologue, I want to say, with Solomon, because it's not something that you just learn the lines and that's it, you say it. It has to come out from the inside, you know, from within. So for that to happen, you have to collect all these different type of feelings for it to come out.
Sure. The play, the presentation was in Fair Lawn Recreation Center. It was the first time that I was being there, and it felt very intimate. And one of the good things about it was that it felt like the crowd was with you. They were supporting you. You had the side of the audience. Whereas our veteran actor, Karnik Nersesyan, was the opposite. Karnik, how it felt to be Talat Pasha in the play?
Well, at the beginning, when they called me at the meeting, asked me about playing Talat Pasha, I refused to take the role. I refused to take the role because I said, how can I play a role of an enemy which he ordered the massacre of 1.5 million Armenians? And then the director, Jirair Papazian, he approached me. He said, among all the actors, your character, your body, your looks, is kind of look like him, especially I have a big mustache. And he says, you must take this role. I said, Jirai, please give me another role. Just give me any other role. Don't give me this role. He goes, no, you will play the role. And I said, at first I did not agree. I talked to my family, my wife, and I mean, I take pride her opinion. And she says, honey, I know it's very, very difficult to play Talat Pasha. Very difficult emotionally. But she said, look, somebody's going to do it. She told me one thing. She goes, what do you expect? To get a Turk to play this role? You have to do it because they trust you. They know you've been acting for past 16 years and you've done many, many roles and you could do it. So that gave me encouragement, actually. When we started doing the rehearsals, obviously we all, me, Harut, and everybody else, we concentrate on learning the text. I was not comfortable with it until the week before the premiere show.
Presentation, yeah.
I was not, because, and one night, I remember Monday night, we went to rehearsal, and Jirai called me. He goes, Karnik, I want to talk to you. I said, well, he goes, Tugas, tun iper haige khagas, chillara sank. It can't happen. You must feel like a Turk. You must look like a Turk. Your eyes, everything about you, you are the Talat. Imagine, if you don't do it like that, I see it as if it's a fake. And we don't want to present a show where people are going to say, well, he was faking it. Believe me, that night I did not sleep all night after he said that. And I said, I have to do this. I took the job to do, and I have to do it. And I hope I did as best as of my knowledge, and people loved it, because many people hated me. Afterwards, they were saying, if I had a gun, I would shoot you. I said, then I did my job right.
Exactly. I think you did your job very well. You were able to evoke all the negative feelings from the audience who were watching the presentation.
Right.
So let me ask you, gentlemen, and whoever feels comfortable, you can answer the question. How this play was received? The first time, as we mentioned, the presentation was on mid-April, and this past weekend was the encore presentation. How do you think this piece was received by the audience?
My opinion was, I think it was received very well. Mm-hmm. They loved it. They loved Solomon more than me, obviously, but that's
means okay. We both did our parts right then. If they loved me and hated you, then
that's true. That's true.
I think we were able to give them the feeling of pride, especially during the first presentation, actually, the premiere, the part where we showed Solomon assassinating Talat Pasha. When Solomon says, Talat, yes, I'm Solomon, and bah, you hear the gun. There was like 3 seconds of silence, then there was applause. In the mid of the play, applause. I got goosebumps. I'm getting goosebumps now. Even like that was the most memorable moment of the whole play for me. That wasn't because of me. That wasn't because of the presentation. But that was them feeling that, yes, we avenged, our families.
And another thing is the way it was presented, the vision of the Girard Papazian, the way he did it with the shadows and the blood,
silhouettes.
And that was very, very touching, I think, because me and Harut, we were only in shadows walking across. We did not come
on stage
as he pointed the gun on me. And that was his vision, which was, I think it was very well taken.
It was very well done. The visual effects, the soundtracks, and the subtitles.
Subtitles is very nice, especially for subject like this, like Solomon Tehlirian's trial, for a non-Armenian speaking audience.
Right.
But it's a challenge for all the actors to,
Try to stick to the text.
and every plays, there's always some areas which
you miss a word,
or a sentence. It happens. It's impossible to go word by word when you have a long monologues.
Yeah,
it's almost impossible, but we did the best as we could, and
especially, you gotta improvise when you have to improvise.
But you can't improvise in this case, because
you have subtitles.
The subtitles will give you up.
You can't use extra words. You can't, like when I've done many other plays, especially on a comedy. On a comedy, it's very easy.
Yeah.
You could improvise, but not in this one. This one was we all knew the text very, very well. All of us. Yeah. All of us knew it.
There was a tension, in the hall, and for obvious reasons. And the observation that I made to my wife, we were together, and I said, when we come to plays like this, when it's not a comedy, it's drama, it's something heavy, the slightest comic or joke that the actors make on the stage, it's a huge relief for the people. It's taken very well, and, there's a burst of laughter.
Yeah, especially
and then
when the priest
pause,
when the priest was on the stage.
Well, that was... Actually, that's Berze Tunsian's... when he wrote it, that's, of course, the priest existed, but he made him into a comic character. So just like you said, to relieve the tension a little, because you do need that, this heavy subject of a play. So
what's happening with the play now after the encore presentation here? Are there any future
Yes, there are some talks going on. You know, they want to promote here and there in different states. But there's nothing final yet. But I'm sure we will take it to different states, I think.
Yeah, I think my opinion is almost every Armenian should see this play.
Yeah.
Especially those who don't know who Solomon Telelyan. I mean, us, me and Harut, we come from Syria and we're born there. We know the story. But those people who didn't, especially my daughter and my son, when they came and saw the play the first time, my daughter and my son, they both said, "Dad, it was great." But he goes, "It really killed him?" I said, "Yeah, it did kill him."
I mean, we even had actors among the cast of this play who did not know the story.
No.
And even for them, they even said it was so important for them, you know, to know about the history of, because it's a very big part of our Armenian history, I think. So
it's interesting that for the past week and this week we've been talking about this topic, because last week we spoke with Marian Menasseh McCurdy, who is actually the granddaughter of someone who was involved in financing Operation Nemesis. And today we're talking about the play about Operation Nemesis. And I think it's a moment where we feel proud and a little bit relieved, you know, after all the atrocities of the genocide that we as Armenians experience. And I'm not a movie critique or a play critique, but I personally enjoyed watching the play, and I hope that there will be more presentations in the region so that people who did not have the chance to be present and watch it, they will have the chance to watch it. Harut, the presentation is over, but you have a busy weekend ahead. Tell us about your project for this weekend.
Okay, so besides being an actor, I'm also a musician, which explains the soundtrack, by the way, was written by me of the play. I'm also the director of Huysar Music Ensemble of St. Illuminator's Cathedral. So next weekend, we're doing a show at the Armenian Old Age Home in Flushing. Every year we visit them, you know, just to entertain the elderly. But this year we said, why not do the show with admission as a benefit concert for the Armenian Old Age Home, so that all the proceeds will go to the home. So that's the only difference. It's called A Journey Home. We're going to the Armenian home.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nothing, you know, too big like our usual concerts, but it's a meaningful one just to help the Armenian elderly and the Armenian home. So it's going to be on Saturday, October 3rd at 8 p.m.
Very good. Huysar Ensemble of St. Illuminator's Cathedral have been here at St. Sarkis Church. You've performed on various occasions. Mm-hmm. Our listeners know who you guys are, and now you're providing the information, and we hope that they will encourage and support you Saturday at 8 p.m. at the Armenian Old Age Home in Flushing. Baron Karnik, can we talk a little bit about Yeraz Ensemble?
Sure.
2 weeks ago, we had the picnic, and the highlight of our picnic was Yeraz Ensemble.
Yes.
Tell us, how do you feel?
Almost everybody in New York and New Jersey area knows who Yeraz Dance Ensemble is. And we exist since I'm the founder of the Yeraz Ensemble. So in 1999, we decide, I mean, obviously with the church permission. Yeraz Ensemble belongs to St. Sarkis Church with Douglaston, and our pastor, Der Narek, is always stand by us and help us every issue we have. We have any questions, we could consult with Der Narek. And for a long time, we had a very, very successful dance group. The objective was to bring these young adults, and hoping they would fall in love with each other, they're hired, and you married some of them. and they get married. And
some of them did, right?
Yes, we had about three or four couples got married from the dance group, which I'm very proud of that.
But and that was not the only objective of Vienna.
That wasn't the only objective, no. That was not. But that was part of it there, right? We all hoped for that, and it worked. And my main objective was, because I was an Antonic dancer, soloist in Antonic dance group very long time ago, and we decided to put the culture of the dance for these young adults or young children. We do accept from 6 to 13, 14, up to 18. You know that it was sad for me when the older group decide already they want to kind of retire. But they made me proud when April 24th, we were at the Times Square, and I saw all my adult dancers there, and I asked them, would you raise the pert? That was not choreographed. That was not, it was the emotion moment, and they did it. And I was so proud of them. I was really, really, I'm still proud of them.
The whole community has always been proud of Yeras Dance Group, and Yeras has been kind of absent from the scene for quite some time. But
yes,
when you guys did that return 2 weeks ago here during our picnic, everyone felt very happy. And subsequently, I'm hearing that some families are considering to send their kids to be part of Yeras Dance Group. And I hope that Yeras will be back to the place where it was years ago. Gentlemen, thank you very much for this opportunity. This has been very good to see you and to talk to you. And I wish both of you success in your respective careers. Thank you very much.
Likewise. Thank you, Dana.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's do the Bible reading and reflection now. This is something that we do every week here on the podcast. Today's reading is from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 17, verses 7 and 8.
But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit.
The Word of God. When we look at our reading today in its context, we will see that the prophet Jeremiah contrasts two type of people, those who trust their own might and those who trust the power of God. And the analogy that he uses here, it's absolutely wonderful. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. They will be like a tree planted by the water. I like the analogy because I come from a place where we had gardens, we had trees, we had streams, and I know how it looks to have a tree planted by the water and how you see the roots stretching out, trying to get closer and get more of that water that runs in the stream. And you will see the tree standing strong, but the work that the root is doing, it's absolutely essential of the well-being of that tree. So from that perspective, for the prophet to say that a person who trusts God is like a tree who is planted by the river, it means that our trust in God becomes the source of our nourishment. It means that if we are doing well, it's not because of who we are, it is because of our trust in God.
Then, how do we achieve that level of trust in God where you wholeheartedly just feel like that tree that's planted by the water that does not fear when heat comes because its leaves are always green and always getting that water and being fed properly?
That's the $60,000 question that probably I will not be able to give a good answer. That's a question that I would love to ask a master in Christian spirituality, but I can give it a try and say that just like everything else in life, it's trial and error. You know, when you watch children who are trying to walk, when they fall, they're kind of scared. They're hesitant to take the next step. But eventually they will overcome that fear. Just like that, in our life, we learn to trust God. And the more we
get closer to God and we learn to trust the Lord will show us the ways. Without trying to reveal too much about me personally, I came to trust the Lord every time that I was in trouble in my life. And I felt that I was hitting a dead end in the tunnel. There was always a light at the end of that tunnel. And that light was given to me by God. Now that being said, I cannot say that I do not have my doubts. Just like any human beings, sometimes I have my doubts. But God has never failed, has always been there for me. And it's a great feeling to know that no matter what happens, you can always trust God, because as a loving Father, God cares for us and God will deliver us from all kinds of trials and temptations. Not the way that we want it to be, but the way that God knows best for us. The hymn today is called Inerutyan Imo Oknya Inster. This is a hymn by Mesrop Mashtots of the 5th century of the Armenian Church, and it's being performed by Hasmik Baldasaryan. We hope that you will enjoy listening to this hymn. We will be back next week with a new episode of the podcast. In the meantime, I would like to thank Mr. Veh Bezdikian, my co-host, my producer, Mr. Greg Dostur, our sponsor, and all of our listeners. I pray that the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ will be always in your hearts. Amen.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Dr. Carlo Bayraktarian. If you'd like to sponsor future episodes, please contact the St. Sarkis Church office at 718-224-2275.